I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, verses 1 through 14. Begins with this lesson here. It begins with two questions. And then I like verse 13. I'd like you to look over there at that verse. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Two questions. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Let us come before the Lord in prayer.
Brought along this evening a plant, actually some stems from a plant. Would anyone care to guess what I might have here? Maybe a closer look would help. Actually, before I came to church, I went out on my bike and snipped these off. Anyone care to give me? You can keep it. Jeff said I can keep it. Does that give you a hint? Doesn't it look pretty? Anyone know what it is? It's not marijuana, no. Actually, it's very plentiful, and you wouldn't have to go far to find some. Poison ivy. And right now I'm feeling itchy all over. Numerous times since my childhood, I've suffered quite severely the effects of poison ivy. The most recent encounter happened back in early June when Jane and I and a number of the children had a work day at the Heisey farm to help Joel and Karen. It was a full day and it was dark until two wagon loads of hay could be unloaded. I was on the wagon, digging loose the bales to throw them on the elevator, and in the dim light, I found it was easier to bear hug the bales rather than take the time to look for the binder twine and try to dig my hands in underneath there. And I wanted to keep them busy up in the hay mow. I never gave it a thought, about the likely possibility of poison ivy being in some of the bales, until Joel said, "I hope there was no poison ivy in mixed with that hay." And sure enough, about a day later, I did get a very mild case. It wasn't enough, but it was enough just to remind me that, you know, I better stay away from that stuff. And tonight, I would like to make a comparison between poison ivy and sin. In fact, the title of the message is The Poison of Sin. And for an outline, I've chosen to use an acrostic for the word poison. I'd like to point out six similarities between poison ivy and sin. The first letter in the word poison is P, which stands for plentiful. Poison ivy is plentiful in nature. It can be found along fence rows, clinging to trees and buildings and woodlands, along roads, vacant lots, even in lawns and gardens. Since poison ivy can tolerate shallow soils, dry conditions, little sunshine, there are few areas in eastern North America that are completely free of the plant. Poison ivy is also found from southern Canada to Guatemala and in Bermuda, the Bahamas, China, Japan, Taiwan. Not only does poison ivy abound in nature, sin does as well. Romans 5:20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Sin abounds on every hand. Paul tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin is universal, can be found anywhere on this old world. Romans 8:22, we read, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. I can identify with Job chapter 13, verse 23, when he said, how many are mine iniquities and sins? Make me to know my transgression and my sin. Sin is all around us. We are prone to sin. I can also identify with the Apostle Paul when he said in Romans 7:21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Yet, we know that unconfessed sin is a poison to our life in Christ. It alienates us from God, and we lack that sweet peace and the freedom that Brother Glenn was talking about, that only a close relationship with Him can provide. If left unchecked, sin will cause spiritual death. It's poison. And it makes us feel miserable after the fact. Granted, there's a certain amount of pleasure in sin, and we want to consider that as the second point. The second letter in the word poison is O, and we're going to say that stands for ornamental. Ornamental. Poison ivy is ornamental in appearance. If it wouldn't be for its undesirable characteristics, the poison ivy plant could be tolerated as a desirable ground cover or vine with its dark, glossy green leaves, and there are at times small yellowish flowers during early summer and a colorful berry-like fruit that adorns the plant. As much as I hate to admit it, the ivy plant can be attractive in appearance. Isn't sin similar? it can be attractive, alluring. There is gloss and color adorning what in the end turns out to be a cruel hoax. The call is subtle and the looks are deceiving. Come enjoy the lush vegetation. My fruit is appetizing. The waxy greenery will enchant you. My cool shade will satisfy you. But we cannot allow ourselves to be deceived. Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Exhort daily. Give advice. Give warning on a daily basis. Why? Sin is deceitful. It is sugar-coated candy with center of deadly poison. Sin is pleasurable. There is delight and fun, but only for a season. When we are drawn to sin because of its offer of pleasure and momentary satisfaction, then we have to realize there are consequences. There is pleasure in satisfying the desires of the flesh, those longings for things forbidden by God. There's a certain satisfaction even in revenge. On the other hand, walking in the Spirit requires discipline. Dying daily to self. Refusing to listen to the carnal urges with which we all struggle. Galatians 5:16 is clear. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the desires of the flesh. So we have a choice. It's a matter of the will. Will I say no to my longings for what God forbids, even though the desire is strong, or will I give in? We can blame sin on a lot of things, from the unfortunate things of our past to the influence of our present circumstances. But that still does not change the issue. When we knowingly step into sin, it is because we want to and we make that decision to do wrong. James 1:14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. The third letter in the word poison is I, and stands for identification. Identification of poison ivy can be confusing. It is confusing because of the plant's highly variable growth forms. It can grow in the form of a shrub, a trailing plant on the ground, or as a climbing vine on trees, fences, and walls. Some authorities recognize at least two species of poison ivy, while others claim there's just one. The confusion is increased by referring to the shrubby forms of these plants as poison oak. To further compound the problem, the novice woodsman will confuse a similar vine with poison ivy. It's called Virginia creeper, but it has five leaves instead of three. And the little rhyme helps us remember the difference. Leaves of three, leave it be. Today, Christians seem to be confused about sin. Its identification is different depending upon who you talk to. Some Christians who seem vibrant in their walk with God allow or participate and what we may consider very wrong. How do you handle identification of sin when some people say, it's not poison, while others say, oh yes it is? Wouldn't it have been easier for God just to give us a list? You know, in order for God to have specifically spelled out in detail all sin, past, present, and future, whether it be in thought, motive, deed, or neglect of good, it would have been a huge library full of volumes of books just to contain the list. And it may have taken a lifetime to search, study, and interpret all these volumes of lists. Instead, God has given us principles of His Word and the Holy Spirit to convict us of wrongdoing. Romans 3:20, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. John 16:8, and when He, speaking of the Holy Spirit, is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. You know, the child of God who truly loves the Father is going to be obedient to the commands of God and sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. For some, it's a matter of growth and faith and maturity, developing stronger convictions as love for the Lord deepens. We all have the responsibility to exhort others, to encourage them to refrain from sin as the Spirit gives opportunity. But most of all, we need to work on identifying sin in our own life and make sure that our heart is right with God. Sin is much easier to identify when our mind is saturated with the Word and when our hearts are close to God. It's very dangerous to base our standard of conduct on what other Christians allow. Yet how often is that the tendency? Romans 14:22, hast thou faith, have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. Our standard of conduct cannot be based on what others do, but on what God would have us do, based on the Word and the Spirit. The fourth letter in the word poison is S, and stands for the word spreads. Poison ivy spreads to other areas. If allowed to grow unhindered, it will not only spread by branching out through its root system, but it will be propagated because of its fruit being eaten by birds. The seeds of poison ivy pass through the digestive system unharmed and are distributed then all over the place. There is poison ivy growing under the trees in our yard because birds ate ivy berries somewhere and unknowingly deposited them along with plenty of fertilizer. Sin spreads as well. Every one of us here has inherited a sin nature. Why? Because sin spreads. And we read in Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that we all have sinned. Not only do we inherit a sin nature, you know, if sin is allowed to exist in our lives, unconfessed, it spreads its ugly influence to those around us. Bitterness, for example, is notorious for its corruptive influence on us and on others as well. Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Just like those new poison ivy vines that keep sprouting up from existing roots in the ground, so bitterness will spread its defiling hold on the lives of those we love. We cannot allow bitterness to exist. New plants of sin spring up from the original root. One time I attempted to pull out some poison ivy plants under our trees, and you know what? I came up with these long strands of roots connected to other plants in a network of roots. In a body of believers, sin cannot be allowed to grow, or in time, the whole body will be infected. 1 Corinthians 5:6 tells us this. Your glorying is not good. Speaking of the person in the Corinthian church who was allowed to be there and yet was committing sexual sin. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore, verse 7, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. The fifth letter in the word poison is O, and stands for the word outcome. The outcome of contact with poison ivy is detrimental. There are consequences to be paid. Contamination by poison ivy can occur through direct or indirect contact with the plants, the stems, the leaves, or the berries, or by exposure to smoke from burning the plants. The resulting irritating itch is limited first to the site of contact, but it can be spread to other parts of the body. Within 12 hours to several days after exposure, small white blisters appear on the skin, along with severe itching. The rash can range from itching and inflammation to severe swelling with oozing and blisters. Even in winter, one can contact poison ivy. The worst case I ever had came during the winter from cutting wood that had poison ivy vines attached. I became that miserable and my legs that swollen that I ended up going to the doctor. I realize that not everyone is affected by poison ivy plants, but some people who are seemingly immune for years may suddenly become sensitive to the toxin. An oily substance found in all plants or parts of the plant is called urushiol, and it's the culprit that brings such miserable consequences to our bodies. You know, there are consequences for contact with sin as well. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. James 1:15, and when lust or desire hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Galatians 6, 7 and 8, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. There are sad accounts of many an individual who dabbled with sin, thinking it would not be all that bad. But their lives are filled with heartache and misery, overcome with guilt and remorse. The misery from a few days of poison ivy rash is but a feather tickle compared to the consequences of sin, unconfessed, in a life removed from the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The sixth and last letter in the word poison is N, and stands for the words, no cure. There is no lasting cure for poison ivy. The only foolproof method of preventing poison ivy is to avoid contact with the plant. I've heard of some who get annual shots to lessen or eliminate the reaction to poison ivy, but they have to continue getting those shots. It's not a cure. There are various folk remedies, from washing in vinegar and salt, even bleach water. I've tried that. Some of these remedies may or may not work depending on the individual. Others have actually eaten the leaves to gain immunity, only to suffer the effects internally. Whew. Various lotions and creams may lessen the discomfort, but once someone gets poison ivy, it takes about a week to be completely free of the irritation, regardless of what remedies they use. You know, it's the same with sin. Humanly speaking, there is no cure for sin. While we are in our present state, it will always be with us, it will always be around us. We will be dealing with the consequences of sin all our lives. But praise God, Jesus Christ has already paid for the sin that we commit through his death on the cross. His blood washes away our sins, and we can be free of all defilement. Fresh, clean as the new fallen snow. One thing I have experienced is that if I get poison ivy, and I'll probably do this as soon as I get home, I wash and scrub thoroughly as soon as possible. The sooner the oil can be cleaned from the skin, the less effect it has. The lesson carries as well for sin. We cannot allow sin and guilt to fester in our souls. The sooner we confess and forsake it, the better. Christ has already suffered for that sin. We only need to confess it. And God is faithful, and he is just, and he will forgive us. Sin is forgiven when we confess, but we should never persist in sin thinking that, hey, I'll just keep confessing. Granted, God's grace abounds above sin to give us the power to be overcomers, yet God forbids us to continue in sin, thinking his grace will continue to abound. Romans 6:1 and 2, the verses that Brother Robert read. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? There is a cure for sin. I should clarify that. But not in this life. Ultimately, there is a cure. The believer is going to have the blessed experience of being totally removed from the presence of sin and its effects. In Genesis 3, we read of the universal penalty for sin. And one aspect of that penalty is that plants were cursed with thorns and thistles. And I think poison ivy is one of the effects of the plant curse. Today, we live in a world dominated by sin and its curse. Pain, sorrow, disease, and death. But when Christ returns and claims his full victory, he shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Revelation 21:4. And even the earth and its vegetation will rejoice. I wonder what place poison ivy will have then. I don't know. We'll wait and see. Revelation 22:3 tells us, there shall be no more curse. And I am thankful this evening that as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be free from sin because of the forgiveness that he grants us. Free from poison ivy? Don't think so. But we can be free from the poison of sin.
Plentiful sin, it's all around us. Ornamental, good-looking sin. Identification that we're in sin, and it spreads, but we have the privilege that we can end it, and the outcome for eternity. And Brother Ken mentioned there's no cure for sin except the cure for confessed sin. And Brother Glenn mentioned that in his opening, redemption. Aren't you glad this evening for that redemption plan? Back here in Luke chapter 9, 54, when the disciples were sent into that town there, and they didn't want them to come in, what did they say? Lord, let us call down fire and consume them. But what did he tell them? That's not what I'm here for. I'm here for all men. And that brings to mind John 3:16. Let's all stand for prayer at this time.